where they're more vulnerable and where we've seen some really grievous outcomes, to improving transit connections between communities, and you'll hear more about this in our platform, about how we ensure that rural and remote communities are better connected through transit so people don't have to hitchhike and put themselves at risk in that way, to addressing issues of mental health and addiction, particularly among young people, with Indigenous-led, culturally safe solutions for people, because once people get into that risk of addiction, they're incredibly vulnerable to exploitation and predation. Our opening of the Orkulalum Indigenous Youth Treatment Site on Vancouver Island is one example of this work, as well as four other treatment sites that we funded through the First Nations Health Authority. All of this work is informed by our work with advocates that are informed by that MMIWT, the Murdered and Missing Indigenous Women and Girls advocates in our province that are standing up for women and girls every single day. Thanks.
Our next question will come from Michelle Gamage from the Tai'i. Go ahead, Michelle.
Question for Premier Eby. You said some conservative candidates oppose abortion rights, and I'm curious, could you share some specifics who you're talking about here, given the death worship candidate was removed back in May?
So when we caught John Rustad advancing a candidate that believed that Canada was a death worshiping society, and John Rustad had an opportunity, and that opportunity was to say, you know, doing this on my own, under-resourced, I don't know, you know, I didn't know everything this lady said, and I don't hold that position. I support reproductive rights, and I denounce this position that she took. That didn't happen. When he was asked about it, he said, well, that's a federal issue. When he was asked about the candidate, he said nothing. And it wasn't one candidate or one group. It was a candidate who called people who are gay groomers and perverts. It was a candidate who attacked Indigenous people. Already talked about that today. It was a candidate who self-identifies running against Anita Deere here in Vancouver. He self-identifies as a white nationalist. White nationalists believe that the government should be, everyone should be white. Right? These are unbelievable positions for candidates to hold in modern British Columbia. And in historic British Columbia, very common. In modern British Columbia, exceptional and disturbing. And again and again, John Rustad has had the chance to say, yes, I handpicked these candidates, but I don't agree with their views. I think they're racist. I think that women's reproductive health matters. I believe that people who are gay deserve the same respect as any British Columbian. But again and again and again, he's refused to separate his views from the candidates that he has picked. And it's not like he's immune from conspiracy theory beliefs either, because he thinks climate change is a hoax. And I just can't pretend this is business as normal in British Columbia. My message is to the BC United voters, BC Liberal voters, people who have never voted BC NDP in their life, they never thought they ever would. They're looking at these candidates and saying, those aren't my values. Those aren't the values of my British Columbia. I don't want that in my province. I want them to lend us our vote. Lend us your vote this election. Give us a shot. You'll see that our values are a lot closer than you think. And you'll see a responsible government that looks after everybody in this province, supports every single person in this province, regardless of who they are.
But that he will not change abortion access. And I'm just curious to ask once more, why are you still concerned about this besides the fact that he hasn't denounced people who don't support abortion?
I appreciate the question because I think nobody wants to believe that somebody intentionally would go out and recruit hateful candidates, would recruit candidates that oppose a woman's right to choose, that think that vaccines turn you into a magnet. or that cell phone towers and credit cards are tools of the Antichrist. But that's literally what has happened. And you know, John Rustad also, before, has been asked these questions in the lead up to an election. Now, you promise you won't cut programs to cut taxes for the richest British Columbians, right, John? Absolutely not. That's not part of our plan. Promise you're not going to cut services for people they really depend on. Nope, absolutely not. And then, as soon as he was sworn in, $360 million in cuts to healthcare, hospital beds closed across the province, sexual assault centers for women defunded. This is when someone has been sexually assaulted, looking for help, to go to the hospital, to report to police. He took the money away from that. He's done it before. He'll do it again. Listen to what his candidates are telling you about their personal beliefs. Listen to what he is saying about his personal beliefs. They are telling the truth about what they believe. And we do not want a panel assembled by John Rustad. If this is his panel of candidates, he wants to assemble a panel of people who decide what our children learn in school. Who will sit on that panel? What will they decide? He has already announced that he will ban climate science textbooks in our classroom if he is elected. This is a true thing that he has said in this campaign. We need to start listening to him and taking him seriously about the things that he's saying instead of pretending this is a normal election, because it's not. It is not. What is on the line here is a fork in the road for British Columbia between the culture wars of the United States, between internet conspiracy theories governing our province, or the path that has served us well for generations of working together, of admitting and acknowledging the reality of science, of fighting polio and mumps and measles and COVID with vaccines that work, that save lives. It's a stark choice, and I really want those voters who have never voted BCNEP before to listen to what these conservative candidates are saying, because they are telling you what they really think, and John Rustad is telling you what he will really do. And you know what? He did it before. He's going to do it again.
We have time for one more question. This will come from Angela Bauer from City News. Go ahead, Angela.
Hello, Premier Eby. The Conservative Party announced support for involuntary treatment in the compassionate intervention legislation. What is your current stance on involuntary treatment?
We've been working with, well, first of all, let me say, I think a lot of British Columbians feel a lot of anxiety about the people they see struggling in our communities. And you see them lying down on a sidewalk, face down. You see them yelling and banging on the hoods of cars, whatever the situation is. A group of people that have three common characteristics. One is they're addicted to synthetic opioids. The other is that they have brain injury from repeated overdose. And the third is that they have untreated mental health issues. We need to do better for this group. If they're not succeeding in a hospital, when we put them in hospital, they're smoking fentanyl in the hospital rooms. When they're arrested and taken to court, the judges are like, this person is brain injured and mentally ill. Jail's not the place for them. They get a short sentence, they're released back out into the community. When they go to hospital on a short-term mental health stay, when they're released back out in the community, they repeat the cycle again. So we brought in Dr. Daniel Vigo, an expert in this area. He does assertive care in the province. He's been working with us to identify a better path to support this unique group of patients that really needs our support to stay alive, and that also communities need our support with to ensure safety and comfort for all residents, that they know that everybody's being looked after in their community and people are getting the care that they need. And we'll have more to say about that this week. And I think Sunday is the plan day for that. So look forward to sharing more with you then.
What would involuntary treatment look like to you?
So so I think the critical piece for me is when someone is, because of a brain injury, because of the depth of their addiction, they're unable to ask for help. They're unable to stabilize their lives to be able to get back on track. How we support those folks with the care that they need, respecting their humanity, respecting their individual rights, but also understanding that if we just leave them where they are, they're going to die in the street. I know that we can do better. What I don't know, because I'm not expert in this area, is how best to go about that. That's why we brought Dr. Vigo in. He's helping us design a plan. I look forward to being able to share that with you this week.
That's all the time we have for our press conference. Thanks so much, everybody. We encourage everybody to join us at the front of the room over here for the group photo. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you to CJSF's Alan Taylor for recording that press conference and providing us with a little bit of a description ahead of time. You can look forward to more work from Ellen over the next few months as she continues to produce journalism here at CJSF as part of the Local Journalism Initiative. Okay, we will be right back.
We are Liars.
I'm Javin, and I play keyboards and sing in Young Pacific.
I'm Nathaniel. I play guitar and sing in Dead Soft.
Since moving to BC, I've been a huge fan of Emily Carr's art.
I wrote a lot of it on the road. That was our first real tour.
What role do you think time plays in transforming something into art?
We've arrived at sexual maturity as a band.
The Arts Show, every Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m. right here on CJSF 90.1 FM.
A little bit of music here. Tunnel Vision by Doohickey Cubicle from new record Super Smeller on Speak Up. Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. I'm Jesse. Thanks for hanging out with me this hour. You just heard a press conference with Premiers David Eby and Wob Kanu. And now you are going to hear a interview done by CJSF intern Rebecca with Brianna from SFU DNA about an upcoming event that is happening next Tuesday. So without further ado, let's get into that.
Hello and welcome to CJSF 90.1 FM. I am Rebecca and I am the public affairs intern here at the station. And today I am joined by...
Brianna Price.
Yes, we got a lovely little segment for you guys today talking a bit about the... Well, I'll let you actually introduce this.
So I'm the accessibility coordinator with the SFSS. I work with SFU DNA, which is the student group for disabled and neurodivergent students on campus. We are currently planning a tabletop gaming event. So on September 24th from 1 to 5, we're going to be running a few different games. We have someone running a D&D game for beginners. We have someone else running a game of a system called Magical Kitties. And I will also be running a game of kind of just like whatever the vibe is and whatever system that we want to try.
Oh, wow. That sounds very cool. That would be a fun way as well of getting to know people in an easy environment where it's not just like, let's have an awkward break the ice
yeah.
type of arrangement.
Yeah, totally. In my experience playing games, I've definitely felt that, like, it's a great way to kind of build connection because you're kind of, there's the proxy of you're talking about characters doing things, you know, together and stuff like that. And so it builds that connection, I think, in a really fun yeah. and interesting way.
Yeah, and then you also will find people that have the similar interests of you based on, like, what yeah. games they want to play as well. It's a good, yeah. like, starting point.
Yeah.
So what... Could you tell us a bit about what inspired you to get involved with SFU DNA and, like, your experience working here?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been involved with the SFSS in a few different capacities. I used to work out on campus, the LGBTQ mm-hmm. Center. Then I left, finished my degree, and I saw some listings come up for kind of doing this work. And I think then I didn't really know exactly what it was going to end up being, but it's better than I could have ever mm-hmm. imagined. I think one of the exciting things about doing the work that I do and planning these things is, like, the students that I get to meet and deal with on a daily basis, they are brilliant and creative and, you know, fiery, and they have this, like, passion that I think, like, you know, I definitely have had trouble holding on to that passion at times, and they just really bring that kind of, like, we want to do this, we're interested in this, you know, we want to push for this to change, we want to do a social event, you know, all of this event, like most of our events, are all just students who said, we wanted to do this, we're interested in doing this, we think this would be a fun way to connect. And, like, last week, one of those events that was like a, or 2 weeks ago, we had an event that was one of those events that students, you know, just kind of wanted to do. It was a knitting, painting, crocheting type event. We had huge turnout. People were so excited. It was an amazing, you know, moment of connection for people. And that's, I think, the most exciting thing is just, like, you deal with students who are brilliant and excited about things, and you get to help them kind of execute on those visions.
Yeah, so you're very much, I guess, like, student-led. It's like the students come forth with what you want to do, and you're like, yeah, we'll do it. Like,
yeah.
We'll get it sorted type of thing.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it really is just, I'm like, okay, let's work out the steps needed to do that. What part of it do you want to do, that stuff? I mean, it's just kind of a funny coincidence that I happen to be someone who has played a lot and also made tabletop games in the past. And so, like, this just happens to be something that I know a lot about. But a lot of the time it'll be like, okay, yeah, I don't know anything about the thing that y'all want to do. I guess I'm going to start Googling about it. I guess I'm going to start figuring it out. And I think it's definitely made me better at, like, event planning and organizing and stuff.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I mean, from, like, I'm, like, an intern here, so I don't actually go to uni here, and I compare it all the time to my uni back home.
Right.
And just, like, we don't have societies or clubs that are anything really like this, where you get to do, like, crocheting or anything that you want to do that you wouldn't normally probably hear about. Ours are mainly sports orientated.
Yeah,
and
totally.
That's pretty much it. So it's like coming here and I see all of this and I'm like, oh my God, like, yeah. It's so exciting.
I think that's one of the really exciting things about SFU. For as long as I've gone here, it's always been like, hey, what are you interested in? Okay, there's a community for that, you know? Like, I think even with this event specifically, right? Obviously, the far and away most popular tabletop game in the world is Dungeons & Dragons. Mm-hmm. It probably always will be. But, you know, when I was dealing with students and talking with people, they were like, we should get, because we bought a bunch of games for our library, and they're like, oh yeah, we should get Numenera or Pathfinder, and, you know, oh, what kind of small games, you know, oh, Blades in the Dark, and all of these other, like, systems that just, like, are not known by the majority. I was like, oh wow, there's a community here that knows this, because there's a community here that knows everything in depth and in detail, and it's really, really cool to see.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, my brother's kind of like that for me. He, like, brings all the games to, like, family board game night, and we're just like, we've never heard of it, but okay, we'll give it a go.
Oh, yeah.
To think, and he's, like, the one that's, like, researching, and he does it with his friends and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And they just have, like, little game nights, whereas it's nice to see that it's not all virtual games, that people yes. actually will sit down, be in a room together rather than, like, on a Discord call.
Yeah, 100%.
So with SFU DNA, how does it help the students here at SFU?
Yeah, I mean, we try and do a whole variety of things. Part of my job as a staff member here is basically, hey, are you having an issue with getting registered for Cal? Are you having conflict with a prof? Are you having, do you need help submitting a WE, which is a withdrawal under extenuating circumstances? Like, what issue are you having related to kind of disability accessibility on campus? It's my job to help with that. I'll come with people as like a support person if they're for appointments, or I will like help them through the, you know, walk through a form, or you know, give them a referral to go get a diagnosis. Stuff like that is like a lot of what I kind of do. In terms of what the group does, what I think I've seen over the time I've been here is that what we do is we provide a voice that people, you know, can't really ignore, right? It's like we are, you know, SFU DNA has a representative on SFU's accessibility committee, for example, right? Who is implementing an accessibility plan this semester. And so some of us have gotten to take a look at what that accessibility plan looks like so we can plan, hey, what are we going to want to push for and kind of their yearly plan upcoming or for next year and stuff like that. And pushing for that stuff is, we kind of get to do that in a variety of ways, whether that's a direct consultation or organizing like more direct, you know, protests or actions like that, or, you know, campaigns like the campaigns that we did around the time that we kind of all went back to classes and stuff like that, where we pushed really hard for there to be more hybrid and remote classes. And so there's that aspect where we do kind of push for things to change, like for processes to get easier, and, you know, united as a group, it's easier to push for that than one person sending an email being like, hey, this is a problem. It's like, well, no, actually, it's, you know, we have, you know, dozens upon dozens of people being yeah. like, nah, no, not happening. And the other aspect is just community building, right? Which is part of what we're wanting to do with this upcoming event, is what we really want to do is we want people to know that there are people here who get what they're dealing with, who get what they're going through. That's why we have our Discord server. That's why we have the lounge space where people can come and hang out and connect and become friends. I've seen lots of people like make friends, really come out of their shell, build community, you know, together, on the basis of the kind of qualities that they share on their, not just diagnoses, but, you know, strategies and stuff like that. It lets them share what's worked for them, where they go to get this, you know, type of support and stuff like that. And to build kind of a network of people that each other can rely on.
Yeah, and I think as with this, it's almost, it's not as, like, maybe as daunting to come ask for help as it is to maybe go to, like, a professor or, yeah. like, someone that's, like, very clearly, like, presented as an authority figure.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have a club like this, it's definitely, I would say, an easier space for people to be like, hey, I need help. Like, I'm yeah. having an issue here. It's a much, like, more open way of getting some help.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we can be like, we have no authority, except we have the power of the people, of, like, being, like, able to be a group who pushes, you know, for things to change. But we can't reprimand anyone. You know, we're not going to get anyone in trouble with the university. Not that we would, but we also just can't. Like, we're not yeah. that sort of situation, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So with this tabletop event that you're hosting, can you tell us a bit more about, like, when it is, where it is,
yeah.
who can come?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's September 24th, which is, I believe, next Tuesday or Tuesday upcoming.
Yeah, next Tuesday.
Yeah, next Tuesday. on the 24th. It's starting at 1 and we're going until 5. If you need to come late, we have a couple people coming late. If you need to leave early, that's also fine. Like, our idea is we really want this to be flexible. We know that there are lots of students who don't get out of their classes until 2:20, right? Or whenever. So come by whenever. You can come in person in the Student Union Building, room 1300, which is just down on the kind of bottom floor. We're not too far from where CJSF is located, actually. Yep. but yeah, we're right near the elevators on the lowest floor of the Student Union Building, so just go down to floor 1. What we will also have an online way for people to engage. If folks are interested in playing in the kind of online way, we will have that. We'll have a Zoom room. And if you want to find that Zoom room, you want to find more information, you want to register in advance, not required, but we do appreciate it, so we can kind of plan around that. You can go to bit.ly/DNATTRPG. So, bunch of letters. It's DNATTRPG is the link to find out more. And yeah, everyone's welcome to come. Obviously, we are a group for disabled and neurodivergent people. That's primarily who we serve, but we welcome everyone to come out and hang out and meet.
Yeah. Amazing. So for people that are wanting to get involved in stuff, I'm assuming that's your website.
I would say our website, we kind of, yeah, I would say in terms of getting involved, the best way is to register as a member. You can find that on, like, yeah, on our website, which is just the SFSS website. There's a tab where you can see Disability and Neurodiversity Alliance. You can also go to our linktree/SFUDNA. If you just search bit.ly/SFUDNA, any thing that's just /SFUDNA, you're going to find the info that you need. We're on Instagram, on Facebook, you know. And yeah, the best way to get involved is registering as a member. Best way to keep an eye on kind of what we're planning and what we're doing is to follow our Instagram account or to sign up for our mailing list.
Yeah. So that's amazing. These events, I assume you do them somewhat regularly as well.
Yeah.
Like, you will have something maybe like once a week, once a month.
We're trying to really push a lot of events for the semester. I think we're doing 2 this month. I think next month we are working with the SFSS on an allergy-friendly food drive. That'll be the first 2 weeks of October. And there's lots of active discussion about setting up a Halloween event. We're generally, I think, going to do at least 1 a month, if not more. Possibly we'll be doing more advocacy around the end of the semester once SFU is kind of sharing their accessibility plan and stuff.
Yeah, okay, awesome. So if you miss this event, don't worry, there will be others.
There will be others, yes. And also just come by the space anytime. Mm. Like, we are open 10 to 5 Monday to Friday. There's usually people hanging out here. Lots of people come here. They play video games on our Switch. They study. They read some of the books from our kind of little library. All that sort of stuff. But yeah, also, yeah, we are doing events every month. And if you do want to sign up for our mailing list to kind of keep an eye on that, we send 2 emails a month. We really don't want to overwhelm people. That's, you know, we know it's really easy when you get a lot of emails to just let them all pile up. And we don't want that to happen.
I think that's the first thing that people are like when you say, can I get your email? And they're like,
yeah. I'm very adamant, you know, with the exception of maybe sometimes in September, because we're getting a bunch of new people in, I'm very adamant we don't do more than 2 a month. We have a newsletter, a reminder, that's it.
Amazing. Well, I think that's everything I have, unless there is anything you want to add about the event or about SFUDNA.
I guess even if you can't make the event, but you're interested in, like, hey, I wonder what it's like to play this game or that game. Come by the space. We have them all. We have online copies. We have physical copies. Come by, take a look at them. You can check them out. You can, take them and use them and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. And if you're like, I don't know what I would want to play at the event, just come on by and we'll make it work.
Yeah, explore some new games.
Yeah, exactly.
You never know, you might find your, like, new favorite.
Yeah, new semester, new games, new adventures.
Yeah, amazing. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks so much.
And thanks to Rebecca for doing that interview. This has been Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We will be Well, I will be back next week. Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon with Charlotte is tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. And up next is Democracy Now! See you later.
CJSF is looking for new volunteers to come in and make radio. No experience is necessary. You can learn to DJ, edit sound, produce news, make posters, and host your own show. Come out to a weekly station orientation to get involved. Orientation times can be found on our website at www.cjsf.ca.